From the Practice Growth Institute studios, this is your coaching lesson with Jay Geyer, keeping you focused on what matters most in your business.
Welcome to the January coaching lesson. So I don't know the total number of years I've done this, but for many, many months, I've done something called the Practice Building Series. And at the end of last year, when I, every year I try to look at, a recap of the previous year and then think about the next year. And so this is going to be a change. So last year we did margin lessons. We had team engagement lessons. And I discovered that there were so many things being thrown at the clients that it was difficult to know where to put your attention. So I have taken this format, and it will only go to coaching members, meaning that this monthly audio with materials will be provided only to coaching members. So that's why you're getting it. And when you think about the coaching process, obviously one of the things that you have to do is to open up a channel, and I need to fill in that channel, right? So it's no different than when I get coached. I have to make the time, I have to put the energy into it, and I have to extract I have to make a decision every time about what I'm going to do. So moving forward in this year, this is going to be one of the main kind of conduits or connectors to the coaching program for you. And I may not be the person who coaches you, but I'll be the person coaching you in this lesson. And some of you are coached by other doctors, but you will have this as a consistent programming. Now, I'm also, if we think about this, I was toying with this. How do we take and get you the right lesson with the right timing? And then how do we link it to your workshop? And how do we link it to what's going on in the world or what's going on in the seasons? And so that's what this is going to be designed to do. And so today we're going to talk about the things that need to happen in the month of January and things that we are going to polish up at your January or February workshop. So my hope is that you will either be, if you listen to this before the workshop, then you're going to kind of know what to bring with you and you're going to be prepared for that. It might force a little bit of action on the way to the workshop. If you happen to listen to this after your workshop, it's going to reinforce and hopefully allow you to finish up what you need to finish up on. So you'll get 10 to 12 of these a year. I am giving myself a month or two off. I may decide to do more. So I think I'm shooting for 10 to 12. You'll get a minimum of 10, probably a maximum of 12 of these. So when we think about this, this is about your behavior. And I want to make this clear, you have to do your part, right? So in order for me to coach you to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish, you've got to do your part. And I never want anyone to feel like I'm nagging them. That's never been an attractive quality. I want to try to inspire you to do the thing that you need to do. And so thinking about that, this past weekend we did the marriage and legacy retreat in the Dominican Republic. And there was a wonderful opportunity to buy some property and build a playground, which is something I've been trying to work on for a couple of years. And when I invited some of the people into that, some of the people said, hey, I want to do this. And so they got to be part of that. But under no circumstances would I want to pressure anyone to do that. Now, in coaching you, there are some things I do want to put a little pressure to you on, and we're going to dive in this month. And remember, there's yours and my behavior. There is a commitment to developing a leadership team, which is paramount to having a successful business. There is how you function in your spousal, you know, in your family unit, you know, your spouse and your family. Then we have how we impact our team, how we impact our patients. And then we get into subsets if you employ groups of doctors or groups of hygienists. And so, you know, let's just give ourselves this recognition that our lives are a little more complicated than the average person, which is why you need guidance. And we have to constantly be encouraged to look at all these areas of our lives and make sure that we're not ignoring, neglecting, being slothful, and that we also learn to leverage this. You know, one of the interesting things that came out of this past weekend, and I just will share it with you because I think it's applicable, but I get my wife to do a presentation, and so I become very observant of the kinds of questions. And I asked her, I said, well, what are some of the things that people asked you after your presentation, right? And did you pick up on a theme to it? And she shared with me some things, but I got the theme, right? And so this may be helpful for all of you to remember this. And a lot of people come up and say, hey, you know, I'm more like you and my spouse is more like Jay. Because a lot of times in the family unit, you have opposite types of personalities. And so I did think that was a really, really interesting thing that I've always been aware of. And so, you know, think about that. Your challenge as a goal-driven, motivated person trying to have a growth orientation or growth mindset is that you could literally inside of your own home be inadvertently creating some level of conflict or misunderstanding. And it was one of the great takeaways from the weekend. I mean, among many, many others, that you know, this was just a wonderful little opportunity we had to get together. We had, I think, 18 different couples from around the country there, some new, very new clients, some that had been around a long time, some with young kids, some with kids that have aged out. And we were there to talk about the importance of legacy and to see the work that has been done in the Dominican Republic. And I will tell you, it was a pretty magical couple days. But I also think back about it, that it's a 12-year relationship. So I've been working down there for 12 years. We've been involved in over 1,000 team members going down there, hundreds of doctors taking team members and families down. And so you have to remember that reflection is a really, really important part. So I'm going to talk about what we're going to get done in January. I want to give you the importance of this. And so let's kind of dive into this, right? And so when I think about you and me, and remember, I've always coached based upon my personal life experience, and I've found that to be most helpful. And I, like you at times, we become complacent. That's the natural thing to have happen. And so in 2026, we are initiating two what I would call major challenges or opportunities, and we're putting some attention on one of the most time-tested techniques that's ever existed. And so I have written this out and want to explain these to you. And I think our group goal is to have these things done no later than, you know, the end of your first workshop. And so, and to remind you that your attitude is critical and that you have to show up, and that, you know, when you look at our model, I'm going to have 10 to 12 hours of coaching delivered on a monthly basis. We spend 4 days a year together. We come in your office 4 to 10 times with a trainer. We can provide leadership development. We can provide university courses for your team members. We can train your associate doctor. So it is really important that you are fully aware of how to engage in your membership, and you own that responsibility. And so the first thing I want to do as we start 26 is ask you to step up your engagement. And that's not anything that I don't ask myself, you know, every year. And I'm sure, you know, anytime you've done something as many years as you and I both have, you're going to have years, you know, nobody ever starts a year and says, I think this year I'm going to drop my engagement. But maybe there's a health issue. Maybe there's a family crisis. I mean, there are literally hundreds, maybe tens of things, maybe not hundreds, that can cause us to get distracted and to knock down our engagement. And that goes for our team members as well. So just a little reminder so you can frame out the year. The way we have now adjusted coaching is that every January and February, you're going to have workshops. And then late August and into September, you're going to have workshops. That may bleed into early October sometimes. But those are the months where we're going to do our workshops. And those are placed specifically with the idea of getting the year going well. I know a lot of you are doing kickoffs, which is great. And then kind of after the mid-year, being able to check in and then working on finishing that strong. That also allows me to insert, shall we say, specialty things in the months in between for you to have trainings in the months in between, et cetera, et cetera. So that will be a pretty consistent situation moving forward. So and we will look to provide you with those date options as soon as we can. And you want to get those on your calendar. And one of the things that I would really encourage you to do that I, you know, my best clients also do is that they don't always race back to the office after a workshop. My best implementers actually sometimes, once they've earned the freedom, they take the day after the workshop to truly, truly process and figure out how to get things in motion so that execution turns at a higher level. Now, I'd invite you into that kind of thinking. And I'm not saying it's a requirement, and I'm not saying that everybody has the capability of it, but I do want to remind you that, you know, you want to be careful with coming into something and then thinking that it's going to jump on your calendar without you doing it. And actually, we're going to be talking about this at your Q1 workshop, which I think you're going to love. Okay. So I had developed a pretty specific 10-point checklist. And it's interesting, I wrote this out, I don't know, a couple months ago, and I've been carrying it around. And then I was getting ready for your January and February workshops. And then we decided to make this the coaching lesson. And so I want to tell you the things we're going to attack, right? And so I'll share this with you. So number one is that there is no question that whenever you have written down clear goals in all areas of your life, that is one of the number one things to advancing toward what you desire, meaning that. And it's always so fascinating, and I'm reminded of this, and we're making a big commitment. Every single one of our clients, my clients in coaching this year, is going to have goals published. In other words, stop trying to think this doesn't apply to you. This is job number one. There is no other job, because what ends up happening is if you will take the time, and last year I did a practice building series on this, 169, if you need to go back and listen to it. This is one of the keys to getting what you want. That is being in a person who actually takes the time to specifically write down what they want, to write it in a way that is positive, healthy, they can hold themselves accountable, and then to work on attracting these things into their life. And so we're going to do that. And so we're in the midst of the what I call the goal challenge. My goal is to have your goals published no later than the beginning of February. And many of you have begun to send them to me. Those of you that are in the process of them, take an hour a day and let's keep moving on this. We're going to finish it up when you come in to your workshop, but we're going to start having you publish your goals on an annual basis. Now, remember, when you send me goals, your goals are private, but I would like to read you something. So I happened to, as I was coming down to record this lesson, I had some people had sent me copies of their goals, and I had them in a stack, and I reached it, and I happened to find one of my kids' goals. And so I'm going to read you, and I guess this is this without breaching any confidentiality, but this is, I'm going to read you the paragraph on the top of his goals, and he is publishing these goals and sharing them with a number of people. And I happen to be one of those people, which I thought was great. I'm sharing this with you because you're someone whose opinion I value deeply, someone I respect, someone I know will encourage me, and someone will hold me accountable when I drift. There's something vulnerable about sharing goals out loud, but I've learned that accountability brings clarity, courage, and commitment. You've played a role in my life that shaped who I am today, and I want to invite you into the next season with me. In 2026, I'm committed to living a life of intentionality, where my actions match my values across every area that matters most. I will lead with clarity, serve with purpose, and love intentionally. I will strengthen my body, my faith, and my leadership, grow my business, and invest in people who matter most. This year, I want to define with discipline, generosity, and consistency in a year that sets the pace for who I want to be 10 years from now. Now listen, when that's your kid and you read it, it's pretty impactful. And so as I have started this quest to get people to publish the goals, I do want you to know, I also got to read my other son's mission statement the other day. And so what I want you to know is that you setting goals, publishing them and sharing them will lead other people to do the same thing. And so my goal is to get you to do it and for that to multiply. And, you know, that's one of the wonderful things about when we're able to get you to do something, what happens? So number one, we're going to have clear written goals. So we have what we call the goal challenge happening. The second thing we're going to do this year is, and all of these things I'm going to describe, interestingly, we're going to do them at your first workshop, which is really great. And number two is we're increasing self-assessment and we're decreasing ego. The great destroyer of all people's plans and goals is their ego. And so I have what I think is one of the most incredible tools I'm going to be sharing with you, but is also important that you enter the year knowing who you are and not trying to be somebody or something you're not, but to play to your strengths. And this is really important. Number three, we're going to have to, and we're going to do this in the workshop, and this is a big deliverable, we have to identify what our triggers are. And when I say triggers, I mean negative triggers. And each and every one of you has negative triggers. You have things that begin to create self-sabotage in your life. And I've got some new tools to help you manage those triggers at a new level. And so again, as I share these things with you, I want you, you can make a list of these, we'll provide a list, but I want you to focus on these items, right? So you're saying, hey, nobody starts out a year and says, hey, my ego's out of control. It just happens, right? So you have to intentionally put your ego down. And again, self-awareness, self-assessment, self-information about yourself requires time, energy, and effort, and certainly observation and reflection. So what are the things that I allow to trigger me, and how can I do a better job? That's a huge part of the theme for this year in terms of you being happy. Number four, your calendar, your pre-loaded year. This is rolls around every year. I've been doing this for 30 plus years, and I am constantly making modifications. So we started the last couple years teaching you this. This year, we're going to bring it to an all-time high. And in the workshop, I'm going to show you, I've made a special book for you that is the preloaded year book. But this year, because you have agreed and you're participating in the goal challenge, it's going to allow for those your calendar to actually get populated with your goals. And this is super important. That's why you have to have the goals. If you have a year where you start out and you have no goals, what's going to end up on your calendar is a lot of things that are going to negatively trigger you. And you're not going to get a great sense of joy, satisfaction, or contentment, which is what everybody really wants. So make sure you bring to the workshop or you're working on the critical thing, right? What you want to get in this year. So what are the events you've got to plan? What are the birthdays you need to plan? What are the trips you want to take? So just a reminder that I know that stuff can swirl around in your mind a little bit, but in this lesson, the goal is to capture those things and then to bring them to the workshop and then to get clarity on how they're going to be handled during the course of the year. Okay, number five. This every single year, I go through the process of what I call attitude evaluation. And it's kind of simple, but yet at the same time, it's incredibly difficult, right? So when we think about emotions, and this is out of Napoleon Hill's Succeed and Grow Rich Through Persuasion, your emotions must be under control before you can be sure of maintaining a positive mental attitude. Without this control, you will be like a person on a runaway horse who cannot grasp the reins. Control over your emotions must include the negative and positive emotions. And look, I'm a very emotional person. I mean, I've been dealing with this my entire life, is how do I control my emotions? And so as a quick reminder, the seven positive emotions, love, sex, hope, faith, enthusiasm, loyalty, and desire. The seven negative emotions, fear, jealousy, hatred, revenge, greed, anger, superstitions. Emotions are an action-producing force. They can lift you to the highest plane of achievement. So remember that you and I do want you to understand that your first quarter workshop, giving you some incredible new tools designed to assist you in emotional control. And I know that's a big, big promise, but real important that you play this game, okay? And, okay, number six is to accept your role as the leader and to play the game. So we're using a theme this year, and I think each of you, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to share with you the themes that we're using. So for instance, one of the themes is how you operate at your absolute best. That's like inside my company going on today. I'm going to share how you're going to be able to do that, which is great. But if you think about it, I and you have to embrace our role as the leader. I see a lot of doctors come through who, you know, they want to make everyone else a leader, but not themselves. It just doesn't work that way, guys and gals. You are the leader. You have to embrace this position, and you have to play the role. So one of the themes we're using this year is we call it play the game. And I've asked everybody, and this is certainly myself, is what's it going to take to make it fun? You know, how do you make work fun? And so this is something that is a pretty easy theme, and not easy to execute necessarily, but I'm, you know, I work because I like to work. I don't work because I have to work. I like because I enjoy it, and I like it affords me the opportunity to be generous, which is important to me, and I like it. And so you have to take that role. Number seven, we're going to be talking about team and patient communication, okay? So look, this is a quantifiable skill, and what I want you to do is to evaluate the frequency of contact and communication for last year. Bring it to the workshop, and let me show you how to lay out a formula for this. And this lesson is an example of this. I did a lot of stuff last year, but I didn't really like the way the rhythm of it was. So I thought, you know, why don't we just make, I like this format. I've been doing it for 20 some plus, over 25 years. And, you know, I used to make cassette tapes and send them out to people. And then I made CDs and sent them out to people. Now it's all done digitally. But I like this. It's a good format. So again, it's a communication commitment, right? And so we've got to figure out how and when you need to be communicating with those people. Number eight is obviously one of the big five, and we'll talk about this. But listen, creating capacity for more patients and customers is an annual ritual. Number nine, what we're going to invest in, CapEx expenses, right? And then lastly, number 10 is looking at this $1 million goal challenge. So we're going to be talking about, yes, you're going to have goals in all areas of your life, but the truth of the matter is you pay us to help you grow your business, and I don't decide where you're going to go. You do. And so this year, we want to make sure that everyone has, starting the year, with a crystal clear vision, because every decision you're going to make, you know, it's like if you come to me and say, Jay, I want to put incentives in place. Well, you're never going to put incentives in place unless you have your goals clear, right? The minute you have your goals clear, everything becomes pretty easy, because it's all we're going to do is we're going to get 10 other people to be invested in that goal. And we're going to reward them for participating in that process. But I see this repeated over and over again. I've made this mistake many years, and I, you know, it's amazing I could repeat this still, is to get that order wrong, right? When you decide and you commit to what you want, lining up people to help you get that becomes, I was going to say, 10 times easier. I don't know how many times easier, but it is the requirement. When you have a year where you're not sure about where you're going, that's why we can't create better opportunities for people, or we don't make the decisions about who we need to hire, who we need to get rid of, whatever the situation might be. So now, the last thing I want to talk about today, let's maybe not about two things, okay? So as a reminder, and it was interesting this weekend, I was talking and I was thinking I had been going to the DR for 10 years and, you know, whatever. And then Moises said, no, you've been coming for 12 years. So he knows how long I've been coming. And so I have a mission friend for 12 years, and lots of you have been down there. You've experienced it, whatever. And as I was sitting there, I was reflecting on that, and I was thinking about the power of time in. You know, many of you have donated to the clinic. You've donated to the mobile unit. By the way, the clinic looked better than I've seen it, certainly during COVID. I was very excited and saw the mobile unit out in action in a Abate, which was great. We got to spend a little time up in the training center. But this process of thinking back and just sort of savoring that, and then I was thinking, well, what would this look like in 20 years, you know? And then so just a reminder that reflecting back is the key, and it's how long you can do the same thing, the same disciplined thing over and over. So it's really important that, you know, it's like with goals, a lot of people will try to sort of poo-poo you with goals and suggest that they don't need goals, right? And I just, that is totally incorrect. And there are goals done correctly, and there are goals that are not done correctly. And so as a reminder, what we want is for you to have meaningful goals that challenge you. And like this statement I read, so the other thing that we're going to work on this year is we won't get it done at the first workshop, but I do want to have you understand this. We're going to work on some mission statements. And, you know, I did this many, many years ago. A lot of you have circular diagrams up on your walls that we did together, and they've become a guiding force in your business. But there are three things, and it was interesting. We did this in the DR. I was having everybody work on a personal mission statement. I think the other thing that happens in life is that if you want to get rid of all these little triggers, one of the things you have to do is you have to have a personal mission statement. Now, I know when I'm not in the mood and people say things like that, I go, I don't need a mission statement. I just need to solve this problem. Well, I mean, look, we've all been there. It's just incorrect. And so I will be later in the year, we're going to make sure, and I think this will be a really big year if you do these things, right, is that we're going to find a little bit of we're going to start with a little bit of vision in each of the categories of your goals and refine that, meaning what kind of father do you want to be? What kind of mother do you want to be? What kind of business leader do you want to be? What do you want in your spiritual life? What's your relationship with God going to be? What's your relationship with your leaders going to be? I mean, all those decisions are critical, but and I think now, too, with AI, it's a lot easier to make a vision statement for people because you can enter in a bunch of keywords, edit it a little bit, and that may be helpful. So I will share with you a purpose statement or a mission statement that I wrote and turned into a little plaque I used to keep in my apartment when I had an apartment on the wall. And this was done around the age of 25 or 26, maybe 26, 27, I'm not exactly sure. And I'm going to share this with you. And what's crazy to me is I'm now 58. And so the other day I took a picture of this and I sent it to three or four people that have known me since then, because I was curious about how they'd respond. And as I was thinking back about the past, you know, this statement had kind of gotten in a drawer, and my son Jack had asked me for a copy of it. And I don't have it up on the wall anymore, but I had it on the wall for many, many years. And it is affected, and I think about this, so I'll read it to you. And I believe there are three statements that you need, and I'll share some of these with you when we're together, and it'll be over the course of the year. But one is you have to have a personal mission statement. So we were doing an event on marriage, and I had everybody make a personal statement. And a couple of people said, well, why don't we make a marriage statement? And I said, well, you can't make a marriage statement until you make a personal statement. Once you make a personal statement, then you guys can make a marriage statement together if you're married. So I think you have to have a personal purpose statement or mission statement. Then I think if you want to be powerful as a couple and you want to create a great legacy, you probably have to create one that's like a family statement. A little more complicated probably, you know, particularly when you got young kids or if you got, but it's going to pay off. And then certainly we've got to have that as it pertains to our business. And so a reminder that these are some of the key things that once they're done, they have a trickle effect and they help you to make decisions about this. You know, when I was in the Dominican Republic and just reflecting, there was one of these special weekends where like, I was kind of like, are these people ready for what I'm going to talk about? Is it going to resonate with them? And it was like, I was thinking the last night we had this special performance from a local celebrity musician and he came as a nice gesture and we ended up, the team and my team and the doctors all contributed money to buy this playground, which we dedicated to this guy. And I just kept thinking that whole night, I was like, I could not have, it was like the God was just working in that room and working in there. And I was talking about being lucky, you know, and I think it's really interesting. A lot of people, they want to know like, what are the keys to life? What are the secrets to life? And one of the secrets to life is to line up everything and do things the right way. And when you do things the right way, you're lucky. I mean, and so one of the themes for me this year is to make sure that every single person I'm coaching is doing those critical things, including my own kids, obviously, right? I don't want, so again, and when do you do a mission statement? Well, you do it now. You don't, because you might be 20 years until you get in the mood to do one, and then you've wasted that much time. So imagine some of you don't even have a personal mission statement, and you're in your late 40s, 50s, 60s. I don't want to say you're wasting your life, but I can tell you one thing, you're certainly not as, you know, it doesn't allow you the ability to reflect as much as when you do have that statement and to really eliminate any regrets. So don't get overwhelmed by this. You don't have to worry about this statement right now. This will come later in the year. Just worry about your goals, okay? Your I will and picking your categories. But let me finish with this statement. And the only reason I'm reading this to you is because it's just like this letter Flint wrote, right? It is, and I'm going to ask all of you to do this. And remember, I'm going to ask you for 5 to 6 people that you're going to send your goals to. You can use me as one of them. And that list is a pretty critical list. So I'm assuming that Flint took his goals and he's sharing them with that list. And that's why he has that little introduction letter up there. So this was a statement I wrote. I, Jay Geyer, and again, I know that the purpose of my life is to be loving, generous, and fun, to maintain high standards of quality and integrity in all areas of my life, to be an exceptional husband and father, to stay open-minded and non-judgmental of others while teaching and helping them grow, to be gracious while living all aspects of my life with an abundance mentality, to pursue, quote, the zone, unquote, each and every minute of the day. Whew, man, I was really into the zone, you know, which was like a physical performance piece. Every minute of the day. Apparently, I was taking no minutes off, right? If it's so funny, if I would rewrite that today, I'd probably be like, if I could be in the zone for
however many hours a day. Isn't that funny? But I read that with you, not because I want you to read the statement to it, but it is really pretty wild and amazing that how, and by the way, remember, these statements are not about perfection. Have I been not loving? No question. Have I been not fun at times? Absolutely. Have I allowed standards to drop? No question about it. Have I always been a great husband and father? Not a chance. But it is clear that I have worked at these things and I have made an effort, and that it was part of what I was driving to do. So very important that as we approach this process, that you do not allow your natural tendencies of perfectionism and, you know, stay in the lines. You know, you got to remember that that's what I'm talking about by a trigger. Because if you're only going to write a statement that is what you're going to be able to do easy, it's probably not going to be the right statement. So I am very excited about getting these components done. I hope that this lesson will set you up mentally. Gather whatever materials you need, come into the workshop. We have a big workshop planned, and then to walk out with some clarity. And, you know, it was funny, the other day somebody was asking me something, and I might have shared this with you, and I was just reminded, I was like, man, when I write down that I'm going to do it, I usually do it. And so this is a very important piece. And when I don't write something down or I don't publish it, then many, many times you just don't get around to it. So very excited for you. Let's keep it super simple. So right now, you're compiling the goals by category, and you're thinking about the sort of the vision. And we're all going to have different visions, right? I mean, maybe I do think I've kind of over the years, like, I sort of know what everybody wants, but those calls are what you want with inside that category is up to you. And then maybe sometimes you forget what's important, right? So for me, keeping things right, like when I look back, I think the most important things I ever did was when I tried to just live in accordance to the way things are supposed to occur, not in the way I wanted them. So for all of you that are doing that, I just want to keep encouraging you and getting you to think about that. And you're going to be a person through this coaching process this year. I can promise you that you may have one of the most intentional years by the end of the year. And then what's going to happen is when you go to repeat it the year after and the year after that, we will have set a foundation that we can use year after year after year. And you become sort of able to handle so much more in terms of the things life is going to throw at you, right? And it's sort of like, like culture. You know, we put all this work into culture, and when you need it, it's there. You know, sometimes it's like insurance, you know, you keep paying the bill. You're going to be pretty glad you had it when the time actually comes to need it. So with that being said, that is our lesson for January. Come prepared to your workshop. I will see you soon. Have a fantastic day. And remember, writing things down and then bringing all those scribblings or writings is a great place to start. Okay, so I'll see you soon. Have a fantastic rest of the day.